He that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Go with me to Job chapter 17, the book of Job chapter 17. We're going to read one verse, and that's verse 9. Verse 9 says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Again, verse 9 says that he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. And when we're talking about clean hands, really what we're talking about is a clean heart. It's a heart that's pure before the Lord. Jesus tells us in the Gospels, he tells us that our actions and our thoughts and our words proceed out of the heart. The Lord says in Matthew 15:19, he says, out of the heart proceeds thoughts. Matthew 12:34, he says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So clean hands, clean actions proceed out of our heart. It's a pure heart before the Lord. And let me just ask the question, what does it mean to have a clean heart? What does it mean to have a pure heart before the Lord? Well, first of all, yes, we can say that having a heart that's clean before the Lord is when the Lord saves us and His blood washes away our sins. Brothers and sisters, when we come to the Lord, the Lord's blood washes away our sins and cleans us. And at that time, the Lord clothes us in a perfect righteousness that's able to stand as faultless and blameless before the Lord God. It starts with that. But I also believe a clean heart means simply having a heart that's open to the dealings of God. It's a heart that's open to let the Lord come and deal with the things, the issues that are in the heart. It's a heart that when the Lord wants to come and put His finger upon something and deal with something in our hearts, deal with something in our lives, our hearts are open to the dealings of the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, immediately after salvation, we begin this lifelong process of sanctification. And what sanctification is, it's simply the Spirit of the Lord working in our hearts, making us more like Christ, making us more like Jesus. And able to do that, to transform us, to make us more like Christ, there are times that the Lord has to really deal with the issues of our heart. He has to deal with the things that are in our heart. He has to deal with our envies. He has to deal with our bitterness. He has to deal with any unforgiveness, jealousies, things like that. The Lord deals with these things because it's all part of the sanctification process. It's all part of us being changed from glory to glory. Job 17:9 goes on to say that he that hath clean heart shall be stronger and stronger. In other words, as God is working in our hearts, the life of God is increasing within our lives. That as God is working in our hearts, Jesus is increasing and we are decreasing as He's working in our lives. That there's an ever-increasing life, the life of Christ being formed within us, that we're going deeper into the fullness of the Lord. And it also means that there's an ever-increasing anointing of the Lord coming upon our life. Brothers and sisters, I have seen this clearly revealed in many pastors and many ministers. There's many pastors in the pastorate and many ministers that their whole ministry, when you look at it, it really revolves around self, revolves around the self-life, revolves around what God can do for me, what name the Lord can give me. And there's so little life in that. And it's because they're truly not allowing the Lord to really work in their heart and they're not being changed. And so there's very little real life being produced in their lives and their ministry. But then there are other pastors, other ministers, other people of God that really love the Lord. And they've opened their heart to the dealings of God and they're letting God work in their heart. And God is doing a good work. And out of that good work, the life of Christ is being formed in them. And there's an ever-increasing anointing coming upon their life and coming upon their ministry. He that hath clean hands, he that has a pure heart, he that opens its heart to the dealings of God are stronger and stronger, that the life of Christ is ever-increasing within their lives. Now, I want to look at this truth in the lives of some people in Scriptures. And I really want to see this clearly through some lives here. So I want you to go with me to Jonah chapter 1. Go with me to Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at Jonah first. Jonah chapter 1. We're going to read the first three verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So here the Lord speaks to Jonah. He tells Jonah to go to the Assyrian capital, to go to Nineveh, and to preach repentance and preach the reconciliation of God, because it was the Lord's heart to convert the Ninevites. But instead of going to and obeying the Lord, he turns from the call of God and he flees from the call of God. And I've heard a lot of people give different reasons why Jonah didn't want to obey the call of God on his life. I've heard people say it was because Jonah hated the Assyrians, because they were a very brutal people. They were a very cruel people. I've heard people say the reason was because Jonah was a patriot. He really loved his people, and they have lived under oppression and fear of the Assyrians. And because he had such a love in his heart for his people, he didn't want to obey the call of God. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, what it all boils down to is this. Jonah had something in his heart he just wouldn't let God deal with. He had something in his heart that his heart wasn't open to what the Lord was wanting to put a finger on in his heart, brothers and sisters. His heart wasn't open to that. And I believe, with all my heart, I believe this is what the Lord wanted to do with Jonah. He wanted to use Jonah, and at the same time, the Lord wanted to start a good work in Jonah's heart. If Jonah's heart would have been open here to the Lord, God would have used Jonah and at the same time started a good work in Jonah's heart. And brothers and sisters, this is the truth that I want us to understand. We can have issues in our heart. We can have things that God needs to deal with in our life. But as long as our hearts are open to the dealings of the Lord, God can use us anywhere He plants us. God can use us. And at the same time, while He's using us, do a good work in our heart. And that's what God wanted to do here with Jonah. But Jonah's heart was closed to the dealings of the Lord. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, Pastor Tim, but the Lord used Jonah. And the Lord did use Jonah. But here's the sad misfortune about Jonah's life. He missed out on two very wonderful and powerful things God wanted to do. First of all, Jonah missed out on the joy of the Lord. See, God had great joy in his heart at the conversion of the Ninevites. And the Lord wanted to share his joy with Jonah. He wanted Jonah to see what God was doing. See what God was doing in their lives and to enter into the joy of what God was doing. But because Jonah's heart was closed to the dealings of the Lord, he missed out on the joy of the Lord. And one thing I've learned about the Lord, and it's simply this. God will not share His glory with His people, but He will share His joy with His people. That out of that place of intimacy, God desires to share His joy with His people. And brothers and sisters, to me, the joy of the Lord is what makes ministry worthwhile. The joy of the Lord, when God is doing something powerful in somebody's heart, God is doing something powerful in people's lives, and God shares that joy that is in His heart with you, to me, that makes ministry worth going through. With all the battles, with all the warfare, with all the oppression, it's the joy of the Lord that really makes ministry worth it all. The joy of the Lord. Secondly, Jonah limited God to how the Lord would use his life. Here's the thought that came to my mind. After the Ninevites repented, what if it was the desire of God's heart to plant Jonah in Nineveh? I'm not saying it was, but the thought came to my mind. What if it was the desire of God's heart to plant Jonah in Nineveh and use Jonah to teach the ways of the Lord to the Ninevites? Use Jonah to reveal the heart of God, to reflect the heart of God to the Ninevites. But God couldn't plant Jonah there. Why? Because eventually what would happen, because of the bitterness of his heart and the anger of his heart is close to the dealings of God. Ultimately, what would have happened is he would have poisoned their hearts. That's what would have happened. So Jonah so limited what God could do in and through his life because his heart was close to the dealings of the Lord. But now I want to compare him to another man, a man whose heart was open to what the Lord wanted to say, what the Lord wanted to speak into his life. I want you to go with me to the book of Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. Up to Acts chapter 10, Acts chapters 1 through 9, the Lord is using Peter very powerfully. Peter is preaching with a great anointing. Multitudes are getting saved. Peter's raising the dead. Just Peter's shadow coming across the sick and the lame and the demon-possessed, The Lord was opening those prison doors. God is using Peter very powerfully. But in Acts chapter 10, the Lord wants to take Peter to another level. In Acts chapter 10, the Lord wants to open up another door of ministry for Peter. In Acts chapter 10, the Lord wants to use Peter's life like he never used Peter's life before. He had a whole new anointing. He had a whole new level. He had a whole new ministry for Peter to walk in. But before Peter could walk in that ministry, before Peter could go up to that higher level, there was something in his heart the Lord had to deal with first. I want you to look with me at verse 9, Acts chapter 10, verse 9. It says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him and said, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spoke unto him the second time, What God has cleansed, thou call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate. So here Peter is upon the housetop, and he's praying, and the Lord gives Peter a vision. And in this vision, he sees his blanket let down with these animals, with these wild beasts that Jews consider to be unclean. And the Lord says to Peter, he says, Peter, I want you to kill and eat. And Peter says, Not so, Lord, I have never eaten. I have never touched anything that's unclean. And the Lord comes back to his heart and says, That which I have cleansed, call not thou common. Now we know from the rest of the story, the Lord's not talking about food. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's about to open a whole new door of ministry to Peter. He's about to send him out to be a light to the Gentiles. But before the Lord can do that, he has to deal with something that is in Peter's heart. What was it in his heart he had to deal with? When you really look at the story, what you see is a deep-rooted prejudice in Peter's heart. He had a prejudice because of the way he was raised and the tradition of his fathers. Deep in his heart, he had a prejudice against the Gentiles. And the Lord was saying, Peter, Peter, I have a whole new, I want to use you in a way that I've never used you before. I have a new door of ministry to walk in, and you're going to be anointed, and your life is going to make an impact upon many lives. But before I do that, we've got to begin to deal with the prejudice that is in your heart. Now, brothers and sisters, this is my whole point. Because Peter really loved the Lord and his heart was open to the dealings of the Lord, God had used him powerfully to minister to the Gentiles. And at the same time, God began a new work in Peter's life. And it was a powerful work. What am I saying? I'm saying when our hearts are open to the dealings of the Lord, when our hearts are truly open to the dealings of the Lord can come and he can change our hearts. He can work his life in our hearts. And that really, as the scripture says, there is an increasing anointing that comes upon our lives because it's open to the dealings of the Lord. And I want you to look, before we leave the scripture, look with me at verse 9 and 10 again. It says, On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. So the Bible says that his heart is very hungry. God's about to speak something very spiritual to him, and his heart is very hungry. And to me, this represents to me a spiritual hunger. And my thought is simply this, that when you love the Lord and desire to go deeper in him, the dealings of God is very satisfying to the heart. Brothers and sisters, in my own life, I've come to find out the dealings of God are not easy, but there's such life in the dealings of God. That when God comes to your heart and he really begins dealing with your heart, it really is like bread to the hungry soul. There's life in everything that God does. There is abundant life in it if your heart is open to receive it. So the dealings of God, listen, when you love the Lord and you desire to go deeper in the Lord, the dealings of God is not a morbid thing. It's a life of joy. It's a life of victory. It's a life of power. It's a life of seeing God do miraculous breakthroughs in areas of your life you know you could never do in your own strength. It is truly like bread to the hungry soul. You see, the end of Jonah, sure he did what God called him to do, but the end of the story, he's sulking in his misery. That's a miserable place to be. But Peter, like Jonah, he rises up, goes to preach to these Gentile people, to the Gentile people, and his heart is so open to the Lord and what God wants to do in his heart, brothers and sisters. And you see the life, the joy, the victory, that power that came out of his ministry. Surely he that has clean hands is stronger and stronger. Because there's an ever-increasing life of Christ being formed in them. Now, I want to look at one more. I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. Start with me at verse 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of all the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, while there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath." Brothers and sisters, here we have the story. Because of Ahab and Jezebel and leading the nation of Israel into idolatry, the Lord is going to bring judgment upon the land. But ultimately, what he's doing is preparing the land for revival. That's what he's doing here. And he tells Elijah, he says, while I bring this famine, go hide by the brook Cherith. So Elijah goes down and he hides at the brook Cherith. And what I really want you to see, what I really want you to recognize is while this famine is going on, Elijah's not really suffering in this famine. When you look at it, he is being so supernaturally provided for at this brook. I mean, he has the water, and every day, the morning and the evening, the ravens come and bring him his food. He's not really suffering in this famine. And I want to tell you, the brook Cherith, spiritually speaking, is a wonderful place to be. It's a wonderful place when God is so supernaturally providing everything that you need. You're not really having to pray down heaven for it. You're not really having to walk day by faith. I mean, the Lord is so supernaturally just providing everything that you need. But brothers and sisters, there came a day that the ravens stopped coming, and there came a day that the brook dried up. And the Lord told Elijah, okay, now I want you to go to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is a very significant place spiritually. The word Zarephath actually means refining fire. It's a refining fire. And I believe with all my heart it represents what God was now doing in the life of Elijah. God was preparing Elijah to be a man that could bring revival to his nation. God was preparing him for the day that he would stand upon Mount Carmel and call down the fire of God, which represents the Holy Spirit in the New Testament age. Call down the fire, burn up the idolatry that's in the hearts of the people, and bring them to a place where saying, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God. Zarephath is the place where God is preparing to do this. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. The brook Cherith, where God is just so supernaturally meeting all your needs, it's a wonderful place, but it is not the place where God makes his vessels. It's in Zarephath. It's in the refining fires with the Lord. It's the Lord allowing you to go to those lonely desert places, trials, these kind of things, because the Lord is refining the heart. Ultimately, what the Lord is doing in Zarephath is through trials, through circumstances in our life, he's allowing things to come up in the heart so he can lovingly deal with these things as a father. And he's refining a vessel. He's refining a vessel. Brothers and sisters, it is in the dealings of the Lord. It is in the dealings of the Lord where we are continually decreasing And the Lord is continually increasing. You know, I prayed and asked the Lord one time. The Bible says in all the Gospels, the Lord says, take up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross and follow me. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, what is truly the evidence of a life that has picked up the cross, that's following you, that has truly forsaken the path of self and is embracing your path for their life? What is truly the evidence? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Tim, the evidence that one has truly taken up the cross is that they are continually decreasing and I am continually increasing in their lives. So now again, going back to the heart of my message, in order for the Lord to bring us deeper into His fullness, to bring us into deeper places in Him, to form more of His life in us, to bring an ever-increasing anointing in and upon our lives, the Lord has to lovingly deal with the issues of our hearts. And here is the question, how does the Lord do this? How does He deal with the issues that are in our hearts? Well, go with me to Exodus chapter 15. Here's a great picture of what the Lord does when He really wants to get at something in our heart, wants to deal with something in our life. Here's an awesome picture of what the Lord does. Exodus chapter 15. Look with me at verse 22. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which was, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So here you really see the heart of the Lord. The Lord brings his people out, a type of salvation by the blood, the blood of the lamb spread on the posts of the door. The Lord brings his people out of Egypt. And as a loving father, the Lord desires to heal what is in their hearts. Brothers and sisters, their hearts are plagued with bitterness. The reason why their hearts is plagued with bitterness is because they've been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years, suffering under the cruelty, suffering under the bondage of the Egyptians for 400 years. So the Lord brings them out, and he really wants to begin healing the bitterness of their heart. Because where there's bitterness, there's no life. There's just misery. So he brings them there, and he wants to heal their heart of bitterness. But how does he begin the process? How does he begin the work of healing their hearts with bitterness? Well, some people say, well, he showed them the cross. He put a stick into the water. The waters were healed, and it represents the cross. It does represent the cross. But there's something that the Lord did first. What did he do? The Bible says that he allowed them to go thirsty for 3 days. He allowed them to thirst for 3 days. In other words, what the Lord did is he brought a circumstance into their life that brought up the bitterness in their heart. And this is how the Lord works. So many times when the Lord wants to deal with something that's in our heart, get at something that's in our life, he will allow a circumstance into our life. And this circumstance will cause issues to rise up out of the heart. And then it's then that we need to decide what we're going to do with the issues. A lot of times when unfavorable circumstances come into our life, we get so consumed by the circumstance. Or we start blaming the circumstance, or we start blaming people, when ultimately what we need to be doing is saying, God, what are you using this for to bring up in my heart? What are you trying to deal with in my heart? It's not about the circumstance. It's not about people. It's not about blaming people. It's not about people aren't doing what I want them to do. That's why this circumstance is happening. No. The Lord allowed it because he's trying to get at something in our heart. So we need to pray that prayer. Say, God, what are you getting at in my heart? And when the Lord begins to show us, that's when we begin to take it to the cross. And that's when we begin to ask the Lord to forgive us, for the Lord to cleanse us, and really have our hearts open, not to the circumstance, but to the dealings of God in our life. And the Lord, he really begins to deal with those things in our heart by using circumstances. But here's the question we have to look at. We can look at the circumstance, the things that the Lord is bringing up out of our heart. But ultimately, with the bitterness, what was God doing in the lives of his people? What was he doing in the lives of these Israelites? Well, he's doing two things. First of all, he's healing their hearts. See, the Lord allows a circumstance to bring up the issues because God has one thing on his mind. I want to heal your heart. I want to work in this area of your heart. I want to bring healing. I want to bring deliverance. I want to bring opening the prison door in this thing because ultimately I want to bring life here. So the Lord is healing their hearts. He's setting their hearts free. And brothers and sisters, this is what I have learned out of this passage of Scripture. Yes, the Lord is dealing with their heart, but at the same time, there is a power that's being released in their life to heal the issues of their heart. And here's the truth that I've learned from this, and that's simply this, that the dealings of God is the healing of God. That ultimately, when the Lord is dealing with our hearts, at the same time, He's healing our hearts. Listen, if God cannot deal with your heart, God cannot heal your heart. Why is there so many Christians that have been sitting in church for years and they're just as bitter as they have been from the time they got saved? Why? Why are they not changing? Why are their prison doors not opening? Why is that oil of joy for mourning not getting a hold of their hearts? Why? Because their hearts are not open to the dealings of the Lord. If God cannot deal with your heart, He cannot heal your heart. And the Lord says, open your heart to me. Let me deal with you about the issues of your heart. Because ultimately what you're going to find is life and joy and rest and peace. Because wherever there comes life, everything in Christ Jesus is in that life. His healing is in that life. His joy is in that life. His peace is in that life. Brothers and sisters, the most joyful people upon the face of this earth are those that love the Lord and their hearts are open to the dealings of God. If you see somebody who's really walking in the joy of the Lord, and there's such a freedom in their heart, you know their hearts are open to the dealings of the Lord. Because God is coming in and He's doing such a wonderful healing work. Secondly here, what is the Lord doing? He's not only healing their hearts, but He's bringing forth life. See, God healed these waters, and these healed waters represent life. You cannot live without water. You cannot live without water. And when the Lord healed these waters, these people were able to drink from these waters and it preserved their life. So these waters represent life. And ultimately what God is doing is leading us more and more into the fullness of Christ. Yes, He's dealing with our hearts and it's not always easy. But brothers and sisters, it's like bread to the hungry soul, as we've seen in Acts chapter 10. That bread being the very life of God, being formed in you, being formed in me. And look with me at verse 25, Exodus 15, verse 25. Verse 25 says, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which was when he cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to the commandments, and keep all these statutes, I will put none of these things upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Now, verse 27 says, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. So the Bible says that they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. In other words, the Lord brought them to a place of abundant life. And ultimately, this is where the Lord is bringing us to. As He's doing that good work in our heart, again, we are decreasing and Christ is ever increasing in our life. And what I really feel from the Lord to share with somebody this morning, the Lord really wants to encourage someone this morning. See, the Lord brought them out of this wilderness. The Lord brought them out of this waterless place. And He brought them to this place of 12 wells of water. And I really feel in my heart to encourage someone or some people here this morning. You have been in Zarephath a long time. You have been in trials a long time. You have been into refining fires a long time. But the Lord is getting ready to bring you out. The Lord is getting ready to bring you out. And what He's going to do is He's going to really open up the eyes of your heart to see the good work that He has done in your heart in Zarephath. He's going to bring you out of the trials. He's going to bring you out of the trials, and He's going to open your eyes of your heart and show you His faithfulness, the good work that He done in your heart. And there's going to be such a joy in your heart. You know what? Yes, that was a hard place, but what I see that God has done in my life, I wouldn't trade it for anything. You know, I love what Joseph named his children after he came out of the pit, the prison, and into the palace. He married a wife. I'm sure God gave him a very beautiful wife. He married a wife and he had two children. And in those names of those children, he was revealing what God had done in his life. The first child was named was Manasseh. And that name means God has caused me to forget my affliction. The second name of it was Ephraim, and that name means God has caused me to be fruitful. And it shows you the faithfulness of God. In other words, what Joseph was saying is this: God has brought me out of that refining fire. He brought me out of that Egyptian prison. And the only, and he has so healed my heart. His goodness has brought so much joy to my heart. And the only thing that remains from the trial is the fruit. God has brought me out. He's brought me into a large place. He's filled my heart with so much joy that my mind doesn't even think about the pain and the grief anymore because of this large place that God has brought me. But there's still something that remains from the trial. What is it? The fruit. And I believe with all my heart the Lord is saying, you've been in Zarephath a long time, but I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to open up the eyes of your heart, and I'm going to cause you to see my faithfulness. You may have not seen it then because it wasn't an easy place to be, but you're going to see it now, and you're going to rejoice in your heart because I am a good and faithful God to form the character of my son in you. I want to end with a scripture I've talked about twice before, but is really so real to my heart. And when you read this scripture in your heart, you can't help but say, what else can a Christian ask for? When somebody truly loves the Lord, what else can they ask for? I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 23, just the first part of it. The Lord says, turn you at my reproof. Stop. Turn you at my reproof. Brothers and sisters, that is the dealt with life. That is the life where the heart is just open to the conviction of the Lord. A heart that's even open to the reproof of the Lord. It's a heart that says, God, my heart is not shut to your dealings. God, when you want to convict my heart, Lord, when you want to put your finger upon my heart and say, here's a place in your heart that's not like my character, and I really need to deal with this issue of your heart. It's a heart that says, yes, God, I am open to the dealings of God. Lord, I desire the dealings of God in my life. But brothers and sisters, the verse doesn't stop there. Look at the wonderful things that God does when you have a heart that's open to the dealings of the Lord. Look with me at verse 23. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. In other words, the Lord is saying, you're going to so know the richness of my presence. My life is going to dwell in you very richly. And where my life is, there's going to be my joy. There's going to be my peace. There's going to be my rest within your life when you have a heart that's open to the dealings of God. Let's finish the verse. He says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. In other words, the Lord is saying, when you have a heart that I can deal with, I can bring my loving reproof and conviction. The Lord says, I'm going to breathe such life in my word that when you get into the pages of this book, my Holy Spirit is just going to illuminate it, and it's going to bring you into a living encounter with Jesus Christ. When you get into this book, a living encounter with Jesus Christ. And not only is it going to bring you into a living encounter with Jesus Christ, you are going to see the power of my word miraculously transform your heart. You're going to see my word do things in your heart that you were absolutely powerless to do in your own strength because your heart is open to my reproof and my dealings and my conviction. And when I look at that, my spirit poured out upon you, my word made known unto you as a Christian who truly loves the Lord, I just can't help but ask the question, what else could I want? When he's your everything, what else could you want? But his very life dwelling in you so abundantly and such life out of his word as he's bringing you into a heart and heart to heart encounter with Christ. You want to talk about joy. You want to talk about victory. You want to talk about power. You want to talk about rest and peace. It's when your heart is open to the dealings of the Lord. The dealings of the Lord is not morbid. It's not always easy, but it's not morbid. To the hungry soul, the soul that hungers after Christ, it is life. How famished we would be without God's dealings. How miserable, depressed, hopeless people we would be without God's dealings, if that part was missing from our life. Amen. Stand with me this morning.